going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And I think you're able to create mismatches, whether it be in the run and the pass, right? You're not as predictable. I think going way back, the more you can create balance, both in terms of personnel, but run-pass ratio, like that's only going to help the quarterback. And, you know, I think, again, like the more that we can be unpredictable in the way that we use those guys, the better it's going to be for everybody.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Interesting to hear the Bears talk about their selection after the fact. That was Jeff King
yes.
talking about the fact that they had the number 10 pick in the draft and took Colston Loveland and what he means for the way they will line up here moving forward.
A lot of guys who they had been linked to previously were off the board,
mm-hmm.
and they made, I don't want to say the best of the situation or the best of a bad situation, but they certainly took advantage of an opportunity to improve their offense. I think it's interesting to compare and talk to some people who were actually there last night when Ryan Poles finally spoke. There was maybe more muted enthusiasm than there was maybe a year ago when they had Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze as the first round haul, if you will. I think that was just a product of perhaps accepting what was there this year. Last year, there was maybe more of a buzz pre-draft because of what was coming and how different it was to actually get a quarterback that you felt like was the answer to a long, long-term problem and question. Last night was more of a professional response, maybe. Not as much, not overjoyed, not over-promising. I think it was probably just a really acceptance of what it was. This is somebody that's going to make your offense better and your coach look smarter.
You know, it's interesting because I think that, you know, when you like, okay, Cam Ward goes first, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. We knew those were the 1, 2, 3 players in the draft. But, obviously you didn't know Jacksonville was moving up for Hunter. Then Will Campbell going to New England. I think we all kind of knew that was coming. The first maybe surprise was Mason Graham at the defensive tackle from Michigan at number 5.
Yeah.
But I never believed he was going to be there for the Bears.
Well, I thought the Bears
be gone.
But I thought if they were going to move up, 8
that's
would have been
might.
Where they moved up to get Mason Graham if he was still on the board.
Right. That's true. Genty goes to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed like it was a lock, too.
That seemed like that was Pete Carroll
yes.
really executing a plan that was hatched a long time ago.
So when the Jets took Membau, that might have been the moment where you were kind of like, uh-oh, you know, this is the run on the offensive tackles,
mm-hmm.
and the Bears are probably not going to get an offensive tackle or the possibility of that. But at 8, Carolina goes with the McMillan kid, the wide receiver from Arizona.
Tet McMillan, which was the biggest surprise to me of the first 10.
That was probably the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
And that was also a place where the Bears, we had thought, might have had something arranged if they were going to move up for someone.
They were fixated on getting somebody
there.
For Bryce Young.
Yes.
Their young quarterback. Yes. And I understand that in theory. That seems like a bit of a reach. And if you were going to be fixated on that wide receiver, that's why I thought they would be a trade partner looking to move down, because they could have probably still moved down, Mully, and gotten their receiver and added an additional pick.
And by then, we kind of thought, well, there's going to be one of the tight ends is going to be there for the Bears. But I think that when Kelvin Banks goes to New Orleans, and New Orleans must have known the Bears were looking for a left. Everybody knew. That kind of ended any of the tackle talk. And then it was going to be one of the tight ends, or maybe even there's a possibility that you could have wound up with one of the defensive guys, you know, if they had loved one of the
Well, Mike Kill Williams was the guy you thought they might go to. That was the one pass rusher you thought they might turn to.
Yes.
Tyler Warren still being on the board, you wondered. I would have loved to have been or had a video of the Bears draft room when the Saints announced they were taking Kelvin Banks Jr.
Yeah, I think they were getting ready to take a tight end.
Well, I don't know that. I thought
you think they would have taken Banks if he had been available.
I don't know.
Okay,
and that's what I would love to know.
Yeah,
because
I'd like
if their reaction was surprise and or deflation, then yeah, because if they came into this draft and we know that the number one priority had to be both lines of scrimmage, especially left tackle.
The trenches. Yes.
And so when they take, it was a surprise. It was maybe not the biggest surprise of the first 10 picks, but after the Panthers took the wide receiver, the Saints taking Kelvin Banks Jr., the third offensive tackle off the board.
Yes.
My sense is the Bears, somebody in that room was like, oh, now what? Oh, okay. We're fine because we like Loveland. But I think the reaction might have been like, oh, there's our left tackle.
Yeah.
There's our plan. Plan A, I think, was fixing the offensive line or continuing to. I don't know if plan A was Colston Loveland. And that takes nothing away from what we expect of him or what they can get from him. But I just wonder that. So
And then from there, David, so they get Loveland and you're laughing and then you're watching the players come off the board. From there, I think I was a little surprised that that Tyler Booker, the Alabama guard, went to the Dallas Cowboys, but not really, because they got a great player who's retiring, and you know they needed help there.
They needed help,
and then Gray Zabel goes to Seattle, and we felt like he was going to be a pretty good player. We had talked to Clay Harbor about him when he was at the Senior Bowl, but I was feeling like pretty good about everything that was happening right till you get to Josh Connerly getting taken by Washington at 29.
That's a good pick.
But you knew they were going to, you kind of felt they had traded a guy and you kind of felt they had to get a guy. But then when Josh Simmons went to Kansas City, that's when I thought to myself, like, just as the draft ended, I thought, rut-row, here they are.
Five offensive tackles. And the fourth and fifth you thought would be there for the Bears to choose from. Right. And that's why you wonder now, what do they do? So getting back to the call before the break, we're going to pay off the tease, because the question was, would you trade a fifth rounder to move up a couple spots to get Travion Henderson from Ohio State? And I would not. I would not do that, because I think that you have some options here that maybe you didn't have to consider or didn't expect to consider. There's still a lot of talent on that board. So, Molly, I just feel like you don't need to give up something to move up for a couple spots when you have other running backs still to choose from. Quinshon Judkins would be there, theoretically, from Ohio State. Caleb Johnson from Iowa would still be on the board. So don't give up draft capital to move up a couple spots for a running back that might be as similar to others that you could choose from. I think Travion Henderson is probably the most explosive and best bet of those three. I still think you might be able to get him at 39 and or 41 if you so choose. But your first priority to me, Ariante Irsery, the left tackle from Minnesota.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I think that, again, I don't know how their board stacks, and I don't know how every team's board stacks, but I would say that, they've got to be aware of the fact that you're running out of left tackle options. And if you're going to if you're going to, and I don't want to use this word, but I will, if you're going to create one, that would be the player to go to at that point. I think the only other guy who was, what's the name of the kid that, Anthony Belton, the kid from North Carolina State. Mm-hmm. I think he was at the Senior Bowl, and he's a left tackle that you might. I don't know.
Probably lower.
Yeah.
Probably lower in the third round.
But I'm saying.
And then you get into project territory.
Right.
Because we don't look at third rounders as guys that are going to be immediately contributors. And that would be, you know, a product of the last couple few draft picks in the third round from Ryan Poles. So your priorities may be offensive line, offensive tackle specifically. You might overdraft a little bit. Running back. And then your defensive line, preferably an edge rusher, although you might be able to see a defensive tackle that may fall to you. The Mike Green conundrum is going to be a very interesting question depending on how teams choose to answer it. He has had two sexual assault allegations from two separate young women during
when he was at Virginia.
And when he was in high school, I believe.
Those are the two.
And the one thing about Mike Green was he went to the combine prepared to answer and address all questions about the incident. And I talked to somebody who didn't think that was the greatest plan because of the way he sometimes came across as a little cavalier in addressing it. So you don't know how teams interpreted that.
He's a former cavalier.
Did not even realize that I was making that pun. That was unintentional.
I apologize for making that pun. It's almost irresistible. But, you're right. I don't know how to feel. I mean, I think if they can get, a running back that is that – if they can get the next running back off the board, that would be unbelievable.
That would be unbelievable.
That would really be
get the offensive tackle.
Get
the running back.
Tackle.
And even a defensive tackle. And before we get to the phone calls again, the most surprising thing maybe you said to Dave to me was that you advocated – and maybe I heard this a little wrong or heard what I wanted to hear – but you were maybe saying the Toledo defensive tackle wasn't such a bad idea.
Well, I was saying that that's a guy that we had talked
Darius
about.
Darius
Alexander.
I think I would like that idea.
He was one of the few actual players that did not of all the I think of the top six defensive tackles, he was the one that didn't transfer, either wasn't at a big school or didn't transfer into a big school.
6'4", 305.
Yes.
He passes Dustin's weight threshold.
Yes.
He passes my MAC threshold. And he has a stamp of approval from Mully. He's the perfect draft pick tonight.
Trifecta.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I didn't know I had given him the stamp of approval.
You did.
But I got no problem. You take a guy like that, that's a good thing to do.
But that's what I mean. That's a defensive line. If it's not an edge rusher, you want somebody interior, provided some interior depth. Doesn't have to be a starter necessarily, but a guy who's part of those waves that you're going to be throwing at people on your defensive front.
Can I ask for one piece of clarification really quick? Because we're putting a lot of good information out there. I just want to make sure. So are you saying at 39, basically – you're taking offensive tackle. Is that, am I hearing that right?
I think my problem is I don't, I would like to know what their draft board looks like, okay? But I don't know that if you don't take that player at 39, that you can count on, who's picking after them? I know this. The Bears, who's sandwiched between the Bears picks?
I got it right here, hold on.
Yeah. I want them to get
the Saints.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And the Saints they already took, but they could trade out of that if someone was really desperate.
Yeah,
I just feel like they need to get to that position, Dustin. I don't know.
I think they have to get an offensive tackle out of these first two picks.
Well, and then to that point though, it's an excellent point. Right behind them are the 49ers who are in need of that as well.
Yeah,
so you might see some movement.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
Right?
People will look at you. You know, I think anybody, we all know what the Bears need. We already mentioned it. We offensive line, defensive line, and maybe they need a running back. That means if someone wants one of those positions, they jump in front of you.
It won't be surprising to me if somebody either trades up to take Arianti Urseri, or they take him off the board before the Bears draft.
So that's why if you are
39,
if you really feel like you have to have that position, you better get to it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the good news is the Patriots took their tackle, unless they think they need to. That's right in front of the Bears.
I think it's a very interesting.
Teams could move.
Oh no, of course they could. I just think it's a very interesting, you know, way to look at it. We can't predict the trade ups, right? You can't do that.
You can't.
But you can predict based on need, looking at the teams in front of you.
Yes.
I just want to know, are they going to overdo it with that guy?
I don't know if they will, but I wouldn't be upset if they did. And when we talk about it tomorrow during our draft show, 9 to noon, with Olin Krutz, if the Bears were aggressive and decided to move up because they got wind that somebody wanted the offensive tackle they coveted, I'd be okay with that because they prioritize a position, and sometimes you do have to go in and draft out of need. They need some left tackle depth.
Listen, and the fact of the matter is that the premium positions have more value in a draft than other positions.
Bingo.
As much as you might say, oh my God, look at that safety.
Bingo.
He's sitting there. You have to be aware of the fact that the value of the position will push one above another, especially when you're still got guys on the board.
Which is
play.
Why keep an eye on the name Will Johnson tonight, because as a Michigan cornerback, if he were healthy, he'd be a top 10 pick. He's not healthy. Teams are concerned about the medicals, but he also plays a premium position. And if you project him healthy, boy, you could save some money by taking him in the second round.
No question about it. In fact, I would expect him to be off the board before the Bears pick.
Him off the board. Shedeur Sanders could be off the board.
I hope Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I do too.
Because the Bears don't need that position. I'm not going to say the Bears don't need the corner, and if they're sitting there, because that is a pretty good position. But I really want them to get a tackle.
I hear you.
I want them to get a line of scrimmage help out of this. And if they feel like they can get the third best running back at that spot, and that can be a guy that fuels their play action, then that's great. We know there's about six of those guys in the draft. Two are already gone, but you know, is one of them going to be there in the third round? I would think not, especially if. There might be a running back in the third round, but not the guy that you want if you're looking for a little more speed and a little more wiggle.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I just think you have to take all that into account as you
a lot of options
as you also look at the value of the positions that you're chasing and the value of the players you're chasing. So, you know, again, if I can get out of this thing. If we come in here tomorrow morning, and we will be here on Saturday, and we know they got the tackle, they got a edge guy, and they got a running back, I think we're going to be laughing.
If they got an offensive tackle, a running back, and a defensive tackle, I think that
same thing.
It's a similar thing.
I agree.
And it might even be a safer route for Ryan Poles to take if they go that direction.
Yeah, that's fair.
But if they end up without a left tackle, prepare yourself, because I think we'll be grousing about it and wondering why, and Olin Krutz will probably be on tilt.
Oh, my God. We'll have Olin on.
He'll be on tilt.
You know, we'll be sitting here, and we will be tearing up pieces of cloth, wrapping them around sticks, and putting gasoline on them for the march at Hallis Hall that happens after the show. There could really be, like, a terrible group of us that all get together and march on the place.
Hooligans.
That's right.
Hooligans. That's what we are, hooligans.
That's right. It happens. All right. We'll be right back. We got to get to all your phone calls. But we also
Clay Harbor.
Yes. I was going to just say Clay's going to tell us what it's like to play tight end, what the young Mr. Loveland is looking at, what it will be like for him coming from a smaller town to the big city, all that stuff. We'll talk to Clay about it next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Clay Harbor.
Playing at Wembley Stadium, 90,000 sold out crowd in London. And for some reason, my heart's beating, getting out of a limo to go date some girl. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Football analyst for Chicago Sports Network. Former NFL player.
Not a quarterback, I'm a tight end, but I've watched a lot of tape. I've been in meeting rooms with Tom Brady. I've been in meeting rooms with Drew Brees. I've been in meeting rooms with Michael Vick. Quarterbacks know what they can do and what they can't do, and I know what a quarterback can and can't do and when you're supposed to expect them to be able to be successful.
Clay Harbor with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Clay Harbor joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Hey, Clay, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. We got another tight end in Chicago. It's a beautiful day.
Hey, that'd be your response.
You know, we talked to you yesterday about growing up in Dwight and checking out the motel and going to the only bar in town. This guy's from like a place even smaller, for God's sake. He's from the middle of nowhere, Idaho. And I just think I was laughing when they cut to him and he's got the giant antlers all over the place. And somebody said, well, I wonder what these people do for hobby. You know, obviously big hunting town.
Yeah, no, honestly, looking at that photo, I mean, that is what is Dwight, Illinois. So I respect it. You love it. The kid grew up in the small town life. I know exactly how that is and was successful every step of the way. Former All-State basketball player, former All-State track star, like somebody, you know, David Hall works with every night. So, you know, we got to like this guy.
And he's almost as modest as you. So, Clay, when you look at what could be next for the Bears today with two picks in the second and the third round pick, they have still four in the top 71. What direction do you think they go? And you also have done some studying on the left tackle from Minnesota, who you think the Bears might not be it would be wise if they took a hard look at him.
Oh, that was the first guy I was going to say. Ariante Ursary. He allowed just one sack and one hit on 419 pass-blocking snaps last season. This guy's big. He's one of those maulers. He's a guy that runs a wide zone scheme. Jake Butt told us that he started playing football. He was a basketball player his whole life. And this guy's 6'6", 335, started playing football his sophomore year of high school. So this guy's got some room to grow just with his experience. But when I turned on the film, he might be a little clunky in pass pro, but watch him versus Abdul Carter, the third pick in the right. NFL draft. I turned on that tape, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. This guy locked out Abdul Carter, didn't have a sack on Ursary. So this guy's got talent. He's big, ability. He's a mauler in the run game, is great in a wide zone scheme. I think he would be a steal if he's still there at 39.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think we both feel that that you got to, you know, deal with the line of scrimmage. You got to make sure you're winning the right way and you're building the right way. And, you know, they probably also will get a chance to take a running back. Maybe they'll get a running. Maybe they get the third running back off the board, the kid from Ohio State, which would be also another thing they could use.
Yeah, Travion Henderson is interesting. He's got that 4.4 speed. He's explosive. Right. He's a little bit too similar to Swift. And I know Ben Johnson, he's talked about the multiple flavors. He likes to have guys that do different things. So I might think Quinshon Judkins, who isn't quite as dynamic as a Travion Henderson, Caleb Johnson from Iowa, big guy, runs downhill, just a different style runner. The guy I really like is Cam Scatabo. I know he ran the 4.65 at his pro day, but he did have a 40-inch vertical, a 10-foot broad jump. He's explosive. He was the only guy, the second guy, in Big 12 history to have 1,500 yards rushing with 500 yards receiving. He can catch. He can run. He breaks tackles. He's got vision. I know Scatabo, some people think, you know, he's kind of too slow. You know, I don't know. I like the guy.
Is he a third-round pick, though?
Yeah, he's not going to the second.
He's a third-rounder. He's a third-rounder, maybe even a fourth, in my opinion.
Wow.
So, Clay, when you look at Mike Green, I know you did a lot of film work on him, and he may, in some people's eyes, be the most natural edge rusher in this draft. He also fell out of the first round for character concerns because of those allegations we have discussed. What's the risk-reward calculus tonight? How does that conversation go if you're on the Bears and he's still on the board?
Man, I'm shocked. I think just maybe some people took him off their draft board because of the off-the-field stuff. And obviously, you get allegations like that, you understand why. But if he's still on the draft board, you did your homework, you think that, hey, this guy, you know, these allegations aren't as serious as maybe they could seem, just watching the film. Strictly off of film, when I watched it, I said he's the second-best pass rusher in this class. This guy is a beast off the edge. I went down to Mobile, Alabama, the Senior Bowl, the first guy, the first person I noticed watching the football game, watching practices, was Mike Green. Very explosive, very quick, an assortment of moves. The guy is just nonstop, plays to the whistle, maybe even past the whistle, to the echo of the whistle. Mike Green is a nasty run defender, too. This guy's not giving up space. He's not the biggest guy. He came in college as a receiver, then he moved to linebacker, and then he moved to edge rusher, but that shows you how athletic he is. He was a wide receiver his first year of college, and now he's this defensive end with so much athletic ability. If he's still on your board, and he's there at 39 or 41, I mean, that's tough to pass up because he's, to me, not that far off from an Abdul Carter-type pass rusher.
I wonder when you start talking about, like, the value of positions, when you get to this point in the draft, you know, we know that they will have their take on who you want and how you line them up, et cetera. But I'm just curious, when you think about the idea that the tackle position is so difficult to fill, that if there's a safety there, for instance, that might be a need, that might be a better player, but I don't know that the position makes it one that you take over another.
No, you're exactly right. And there are two really good safeties, but how do you grade that versus what you need to tackle? And if Ursary's there, you got to take him. But after Ursary, I mean, there's a long drop off for tackle, and I think you just get a veteran backup, and then you play it for next year at this point, and you hope Braxton Jones stays healthy. But safety-wise, you're exactly right. We got Xavier Watts, the Notre Dame guy. He was he's a ball-hawking safety. He's just a guy that had, what, seven interceptions last year, six interceptions the year before, and just an absolute playmaker. But the guy I really like is Nick Emenwori, and I don't know if he'll last at 39 or 41, but if he's there, an absolute freak athlete, 4.38 the combine, 43-inch vertical, 11.6 broad jump with a 1.49 split. He played middle linebacker in high school, so this guy's a tackling physical machine. But he's also a guy that can cover. I don't know if you guys remember this name, but when I see him, I see Cam Chancellor with better man cover skills. A Cam Chancellor that can cover. He's a guy that can hit. He can do everything you need. He can play the deep safety. He can play up in the box. I'm surprised he's still on the board. If he lasts at 39, 41, Ursary's gone, he's a guy you can take. And like I said, I love Xavier Watts. He was a former wide receiver, plays safety now at Notre Dame. He won All-America honors, the Bronco Nagurski Trophy, 2024, six interceptions. I mean, he's a guy that you can put anywhere back there. And if you're not sold on Brisker staying healthy, one of these two guys would be a great pick for the Bears at safety.
Clay, back to last night. Ian Rappaport tweets this morning, every year there's a player who gets really hot really late and one that teams are scrambling to trade up for. Last night, that player was Michigan tight end Colston Loveland. When the Bears picked him at 10, the calls in the early teens quieted. There wasn't a trade until 25. That is a testament to what people think of Colston Loveland's skills and also how quickly he rose on some people's draft boards. What was your level of surprise, number one, when the Bears chose him, and secondly, learning what we did here, that how many teams valued him?
You know, David, I wasn't surprised, and I know we've talked about this a lot, and I've been saying it. The more I watch these two tight ends, to me, and something I've been saying, obviously, the last mock we did at the Big Pro Football Show at the Chicago Sports Network, I had him going to the Bears. And that's because he fits better in the Bears system. You look at Sam LaPorta, what he was able to do in the Lions offense. The last 2 years, he had 146 catches, 1,615 yards, and 17 touchdowns in 2 years. To me, when you look who fits that spot more, I love Tyler Warren, but he is a big, bulky, hulking tight end that's not as versatile is Loveland. Loveland was in the slot almost 50% of his plays last year,
right?
Similar to Sam LaPorta. This guy is not just a tight end. He's a weapon. And to me, that just fit what Ben Johnson likes to do more. A guy you can split out to slot. You can split out wide. You can put him in the backfield and run wheel routes with this guy. He is an excellent route runner, creates separation. Tyler Warren, he's just a playmaker. You get him the ball in space. He's a demon after the run, yards after catch. But to fit with Cole Kmet, to sit with Durham Smythe. I thought that this guy made more sense, and he is, like Brian Poole alluded to, he's a better blocker than you thought. I first turned on the film, I said, oh, this guy's in the slot so much he doesn't want to block. But when you start to look at him, you go, okay, he's a willing blocker. And that's all you can ask for. Jim Dre used to be a great blocker in college in the NFL when he played. Then obviously Dan Roschard. They're going to turn this guy into a solid blocker, a way to make the same things look different. Have a tight end that's versatile. Go out in 12 personnel. Now the defense thinks you're going to be an attached set. Then you got this guy, Colson Loveland, split out in the slot. Then you got him split out wide. They don't know what you're doing. They don't know whether to run base personnel or to run nickel. If you run base and you put a linebacker in Colson Loveland, it's going to be ugly for you. If you run nickel and you put a nickel back on him, he's going to be able to block the crap out of this nickel guy to give you an advantage in the run game. So he is that mismatch guy that I think fit the Bears better than Tyler Warren did.
Great stuff, Clay. Thank you, buddy. Always fun.
Thanks, Clay. See you later.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
That is Clay Harbor. Interesting. You'll be dealing with him soon enough.
Yeah. Pro Football Show, big Pro Football Show tonight at 5:30. I think Jake Butt is back again. So we'll have versions of these conversations, and depending on what else happens today, who knows? It could be some trades
before
tonight goes.
You know, what's great, and the same thing tomorrow going into Saturday, you have time now after the first round to reset your board and mm-hmm. figure out what you want to do and how you're going to attack it. And then after the second and third round, that will be the case when we are here tomorrow morning talking to Olin. We will get another look at the draft board. And the Bears don't have a fourth round pick at this point, but they do pick in the fifth round. And
did you mention tomorrow morning?
I did.
9 to noon, Mullinghaw draft special, joined by Olin Krutz. We will react to the first two nights of the NFL draft before the fourth through seventh rounds. That's 9 to noon, right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app.
And tonight, don't forget to tune in from 6 to 9 for draft night on The Score. That's hosted by our guy Mark Grody and Anthony Herron. And during night two of the draft, they'll have instant reaction to what the Bears do in the second round, and they will be doing it relatively quickly. And the reaction continues at 9 when Rami Makhlouf, he'll be taking your calls and breaking it all down during round 3. And that is tonight, starting at 6, right here on The Score in the Odyssey app. If you care about the draft, you need to just be tuned in for the rest of
and
the next couple of
days. And who doesn't care about the draft?
I think we care deeply about it. We will get a chance to talk with Layla and with Marshall next, and we will do so. It is Mullinghaw on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.